KNOM Update News. I'm Matthew Smith. It's 9:02. A spokesman for the Alaska Air National Guard says rescue units are responding to a downed aircraft north of Fairbanks. Major Guy Hayes said last night that Fairbanks Civil Air Patrol investigated a report of an overdue plane and found a downed aircraft about 40 miles north of Fairbanks. The Air Guard Sergeant Gail Piculba says the aircraft was a private airplane. Some Alaska Native leaders are in Washington, D.C. this week advocating for federal help to deal with the effects of climate change. APRN's Peter Granitz reports that thawing permafrost in Shishmaref is having a harsh effect on the community. It's causing land to erode away at a rapid pace. Each year, they lose parts of their western shore to the Chukchi Sea. Community leaders like IRA President Stanley Toktu want to relocate the entire village.
It'd be better to move sooner because, you know, we can't tell what the next storm will bring because the westerly, northwesterly storm, we're going to get nailed hard this time. Every time we get that direction, we get nailed.
Toktu is worried that relocating the village might erode something else in Shishmaref, the traditional culture. He fears residents could opt to move to Kotzebue or Nome instead. He's in Washington this week asking Alaska's congressional delegation for money. Toktu says he's also looking to the state of Alaska for help. Stanley Tom, the tribal administrator of Newtok, is also in D.C. He's lobbying for federal help for his village relocation project, also the result of climate change. He says he's been promised money for years for roads and an airport, but so far nothing has materialized. Newtok is now looking to private business for help.
So we're excited to have to get the funding any way we can, besides federal and state. You know, I think private sector will be a very beneficial to my tribe, so it wouldn't be regulated like the state and federal government.
Tom did not say which businesses the village is turning to for help or what specifically they would do, but he expects to have more details in the coming weeks. Cheap energy. That was the issue that took center stage at last night's joint meeting of the Nome City Council and the Nome Utility Board. Representative Neil Foster also joined the session telephonically. The assembled representatives received an update on the potential of geothermal energy from Pilgrim Hot Springs. They also heard from Ethan Berkowitz, whom the city hired as an energy consultant back in April. Gwen Holdman is the director of UAF's Alaska Center for Energy and Power, or ACEP. This summer, she's studying the Pilgrim geothermal resource with funding from the Alaska Energy Authority. ACEP is drilling multiple holes at Pilgrim, some as deep as 2,000 feet until they hit bedrock. Calling Pilgrim one of the largest and hottest geothermal systems in Alaska, she said the resource looks promising.
We're fairly close to having a pretty good idea of the resource at this point in time, and I think that we'll have a pretty good idea of what the developable level of the resource is. And it's a big resource. It's much larger than Chena Hot Springs. Current estimates are that it could potentially generate, from a power perspective, 5 to 10 megawatts, but I think we'll have some pretty definitive information this winter.
NJUS utility manager John Handelin said at peak demand, Nome uses about 6 megawatts of power. The problem with Pilgrim, as Holdman said and Handelin echoed, is the distance from Nome. Turning Pilgrim's geothermal energy into electricity and transporting that electricity to Nome could cost between $20 and $40 million. Where that money would come from and how projects should be prioritized were questions posed to Berkowitz by the assembly.
I want to see Nome become much more energy self-sufficient because when I look into the political future of the country and the state, the dollars just aren't going to be there.
Addressing the work session, Berkowitz commented that Nome's initiative on energy self-sufficiency is among the best in the state. But as he laid out the path to cheaper energy in Nome, starting with conservation efforts now, as well as alternative energy and local fossil fuel options in the future, City Councilmember Mary Knodel asked for a roadmap of specific projects.
People are leaving town left and right because they can't afford to live here anymore. I know, we got a million plans and a million things that have been written. Now, how do we get down to the meat of it and get going? We all know there's gas out here, and where do we go to get the money? What we're looking for is some direction and some assistance in getting to those long-term solutions and in a hurry because we can't afford to live here.
Berkowitz described the need for self-reliance when it comes to energy solutions and his role in those solutions.
I can sort of be eyes and ears in different places. I'm plugged into some of the energy conversations on a more regular basis, and I can help steer things. But the impetus for doing all this, it comes from Nome. It doesn't come from anywhere else. You've got to take care of yourself. No one else is going to do it for you.
Councilman Stan Anderson said funding would come to Nome when the city takes the financial initiative.
Technocrats, Fed, state, they have to know that we're serious, and the only way they're going to know if we're going to spend our own money. If you sit around waiting for a grant, you get put in this group of people over here. But if you're willing to spend your own money, you get bumped up no matter what kind of funding you're looking for.
Berkowitz forecast the state and federal agencies would wean people off of fuel subsidies in the future. Those funds, he said, would likely be made available for new energy projects. And he said Nome's story, a community that made headlines with its emergency winter fuel delivery last winter and is now seeking energy independence, will resonate both in Juneau and in Washington, D.C. Iditarod Trail Committee member and veteran of the last great race, Gerald Jerry Sousa, has been arrested and charged with assault. Alaska State Troopers and wildlife troopers were dispatched to Sousa's cabin Sunday after receiving a report of a man shooting a gun while operating an ATV on a neighbor's property in Talkeetna. When troopers contacted Sousa at his home, they say he had two revolvers in his hand when he opened the door. He eventually surrendered both weapons before exiting his residence, where he was arrested. Sousa faces weapons misconduct, trespassing, and three assault charges. A woman also in the house, 55-year-old Kathleen Holden, fought with troopers and injured one. They subdued Holden and placed her under arrest. She's charged with assault and resisting arrest. Sousa has competed in the Iditarod since 2002. He finished in 20th place last year. And Calista Corporation is donating $10,000 to the Bethel Senior Center and is planning a celebration for the facility next week. The Tuesday event at the Eddie Hoffman Senior Center will include a photo booth so elders can have a portrait photo taken. Center Director Luis Charles says the center serves up to 70 seniors a day, as well as seniors visiting from around 56 regional villages. Charles says the donation from the Regional Native Corporation will likely go toward food and supplies delivered by barge. Charles says the center has also received $10,000 from the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority that will be used to replace tables, chairs, and other kitchen equipment. And the price of gold in New York this hour was up $12.20, trading at $1,586.70 an ounce. Silver was up 19 cents to $27.47 an ounce. The price of zinc was at 85 cents a pound, and Alaska Airlines Flight 151 left Kotzebue on time at 8:25 this morning and was due to arrive in Nome at 9:07. Unofficially 49 degrees outside the KNOM station, 10 minutes past 9 o'clock.